I'm Hillary McClure, podcast host at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with writer Ethan Strauss, who you can find and follow on Twitter at Sherwood Strauss. Welcome, Ethan. Thanks so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ethan, we invited you onto the show because you were cited in a recent New York Post article that was titled James Dolan's Facial Recognition Tech Also Targets Knicks Fans, Celebrities Who Criticize Him. We followed the recent story in our media about the attorney mother who has denied seeing the Rockettes with her daughter due to ongoing litigation her firm has against Madison Square Garden. But tell us more about what you have found with this facial recognition tech and why what you found was picked up by the New York Post for this article.
Yeah, I think it's because there are implications beyond it just being about attorneys. In this situation, when James Dolan is acting outside the boundaries of a typical sports owner, a lot of people might dismiss it as, I'm not a lawyer. Maybe that's unfortunate. Maybe it reveals a personality flaw, but it doesn't apply to me. The case I'm citing is one of Brett Klein, a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch, who on the JD and the Straight Shot Facebook fan page, for those of you who do not know, JD and the Straight Shot is James Dolan's blues band vanity project. Brett Klein wrote, sell the team. That was just his comment on there. What he didn't anticipate happening was that then when he would go to Madison Square Garden as a Knicks fan and as a Rangers fan, he would be approached by security, which would try to intimidate him and bully him and tell him that he was in the facial recognition system and that they were aware of him. And here it gets even more dystopian. They couldn't tell him why they were approaching him. And it turns out, according to my reporting, that there's a reason for this. And the reason is that Madison Square Garden, as a company, has a coded system, a tier system of people, of undesirables, and how they classify it and how they're approached by security. And code three, which I believe that Brett Klein was, are to be approached, to be told that they are in the facial recognition system, but they are not told why. And if you're wondering what the security purpose is to such a policy, I'm still wondering that myself. And I suspect many of the policies that this particular owner has seem more related to acting out grievances and vendettas, similar situation with the attorneys, as you mentioned earlier. And this is one manifestation of it, but it's a manifestation that would apply to any fan more broadly and not just somebody engaged in specific litigation. And I think to just continue to expound upon this, we really should look at this and we should really wonder about the implications of it, because in miniature, it's a story of a very thin-skinned sports owner. But when you look at it and you go, okay, for my speech, for my criticism of this corporate tycoon, I will have my ability to engage in New York City public life, if I'm a New Yorker, severely reduced, because James Dolan doesn't just own Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena on earth. He also happens to own Radio City Music Hall. You mentioned the attorney who was kicked out, seen a Rockettes show. There's the Beacon Theater. There's the Tao Group and all the nightlife and all the nightclubs and the restaurants. And they have facial recognition as well. And so we have to wonder about the scale and the technological efficiency that people who are in control of a lot of institutions where public life happens and their ability to enforce something like a social credit system, as we see in China, but in the United States and more privately done among oligarchs than, say, dictated by the government top down. This is not sci-fi. These are questions we have to answer right now because it's happening.
So take us through the rating system and give us some examples, I guess, because I was actually really surprised. One example I'll just say was Spike Lee, and he's listed as a code two. And when I think about the Knicks, I think of Spike Lee. So I was surprised that he had some kind of classification within this system.
Yeah, he's the most famous Knicks fan. And I think it says something about the Knicks that they treat him in not a great way versus Jack Nicholson, who's the archetypal Laker fan and I think is treated like a god at Staples Center by the Lakers. Once you run afoul of the thin-skinned owner, what happens, happens. The code system works like this. A zero, do not admit. You will not be allowed in the building. One is the only good one. It's VIP, the only good code. Two is what I believe Spike Lee was, which is, we know you're in the building at all times and we're tracking you, but we're not approaching you and telling you all about it. Three, the aforementioned three, that's the conversation with the person, letting them know that they're in the building without an explanation necessarily. Four is a conversation letting them know that what they did is not tolerated and not accepted, but they're not kicked out. And five is somebody who is allowed to enter the building, but then is rousted and kicked out. Now, why, as a security measure, you'd have one class of people that's just not allowed in and another class of people that is allowed in only to be kicked out and humiliated. Well, again, you really have to wonder how much of this is about acting out vendettas versus ensuring the safety at one of what has to be considered the prime terrorist targets in the world. But yes, that's the code system right there.
Interesting. And you, I believe in your report, found that a code 5 designation is with Michael Rapaport, for example. I know Michael Rapaport. I know, you know, he can be outspoken and opinionated and what have you, but they let him in and then they kick him out? Like, what's the point of letting him in? I don't understand.
It's a good question. Now, I don't know if they're going to maintain these codes. I think some public scrutiny might alter their approach. So I don't know if it would still apply to one Michael Rapaport. But if you're asking what the point is, and I'd have to just speculate here because Lord knows they don't explain it when I ask, I think it's humiliation. I think if you just don't let him in, then there's no scene. But if you have a guy that you roust and then kick out of the building, as happened to Knicks legend Charles Oakley when he tried to attend a game and he was dragged on out of there by security, then it's a real big display of power. And it's not just, you know, the exertion of power, it's also the display of power. And perhaps Dolan prefers to display power with certain individuals.
Had Oakley spoken out against Dolan in some way to get himself removed?
Yeah, I'm not aware of whatever happened between Dolan and Oakley. I know that Oakley is suing Dolan over what happened and still continues to do so. And my report was actually cited by Oakley's lawyer in a letter arguing that Madison Square Garden Company should be opened up to discovery. But I am still a little bit mystified as to what Oakley did that pissed Dolan off so much. For all we know, it might have happened in private, considering that they've probably exchanged words in private. Whatever it was, Dolan saw fit to make an example out of Charles Oakley in a way that I think many Knicks fans felt was disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Ethan, what prompted you to pull together your report? What interested you in it? And then how did you, start going about it?
Well, I always get tips, and I'd gotten a tip about the financial advisor, and I started to pursue it and learn more about it. And it just seemed to be one of these stories that was not going to be covered by the broader sports media. I mean, I like a lot of my colleagues. I think there are a lot of talented people in sports media, but it's fairly corrupted for complicated reasons that could just be its own podcast, if not many. And the short story is that breaking news is very important in sports media, being first to report a trade or transaction. The best way to break a story is to have a good relationship with an agency, player agency. And certain agencies are heavily tied into certain teams. CAA is the most powerful sports agency, I would say. They're also a very powerful Hollywood agency. They have almost merged their brand with the New York Knicks, and the top reporter who dictates coverage at ESPN is also represented by CAA. You know, you could call this a conspiracy, but it's not exactly tinfoil hat stuff. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple conflict of interest, pretty simple corruption. And so ESPN has been fairly light in their approach regarding the New York Knicks. And, you know, subsequent story I wrote was actually about all the publications that were covering this in the aftermath of all these politicians trying to really pressure Dolan and the Knicks, and Dolan's crazy interview on Good Morning New York, and how all these publications around the country were giving this heavy coverage, except for, oddly enough, ESPN, the main sports media company. And what a funny dog that doesn't bark right there. So given what I know about the conflicts of interest, I just thought it was a place where I could tell a story that wasn't going to be told otherwise. And fortunately, it was resonant, and there were other journalists doing hard work on it, and evolves to this day.
Great. And so what's next for you? Are you doing anything else around this story, or are you kind of, you know, just moving on to other things? And what you said, you're a sports writer. What else do you write about?
I write about anything that intersects with sports and culture that I find appropriately interesting. And I let that interest be the engine of the website. I just find that it's easier to do the kind of work that demands a fee if you're heavily engaged in it and passionate about it. So as to whether I'm going to continue to pursue this story, I guess it really depends on what twists and turns it takes. Maybe Dolan is standing down. Maybe he's going to quietly concede to New York's politicians, or it gets even more animated and he gets even more bombastic. And then I think it's worthy of coverage. In a way, I'm not sure I feel as much of a responsibility to the story currently, because I do think that the New York media scene has really sunk their teeth into it. I don't think that, especially the New York Times, is all that interested in sports. And for all the bad Dolan has done as a sports owner, it just wasn't something that they were all that concerned about. But now that he's engaged in this Orwellian techno dystopia, they seem to be quite interested in it. And I think as long as the New York Times and other high status publications are on this beat, I might just look at it and go, hey, they're doing a great job and I can approach something else. I am but one person. So I'm waiting to see with this whole thing. I'm also seeing how it's all going to play out.
Yeah, I was just doing a quick search and it seems like Fortune and Business Insider and Variety are picking up stories about the facial recognition component for sure. So it will be interesting. You know, I'm sure there are other buildings we're entering that perhaps have some kind of facial recognition technology, but his is certainly feeling the heat right now, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's used it the most capriciously and vindictively. And in a way, if you are a civil liberties champion who's concerned about facial recognition, and to be clear, I have not worked out every single way I felt on this issue, and I'm not sure what the laws should be, but let's say you're somebody who doesn't want facial recognition, then James Dolan has done you a tremendous favor, because the whole sales pitch of this is that facial recognition is going to keep us safe and our well-meaning overlords won't abuse this kind of power. And boom, what we are witnessing is the immediate abuse of this power towards the most cartoonishly vain and silly ends from somebody commissioned with protecting 20,000 people from a terrorist attack, who is redirecting resources towards bullying whoever might criticize him as a sports owner. I do think it's an indication to those who want bans on facial rec that this sort of technology is going to be abused at the very least. You know, you can make an argument that overall it's a net positive for society, but just immediately we're seeing abuse just off the bat. And that's something they can certainly point to.
I guess Dolan threatened to take away alcohol at the Knicks games or Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Well, he's engaged in a fight. Yeah. I mean, he is taking on people that he might not be able to win against. Yeah. And they're threatening to take his liquor license. And he's attacking the New York political class for such a threat. And on Good Morning New York, holding up a picture of the man in charge of that liquor license decision with his name and phone number, saying, hey, if you are upset about this, then basically harass this guy. So I would say he is not handling this well. And for years, many Knicks fans have wanted Dolan to be forced to sell the team to no avail. And I do wonder if he's starting to take on powerful forces that are actually going to play a role in that happening, because we're off script right now. No other sports owner handles themselves this way. They don't attack the New York Times. They don't attack, you know, the New York politicians who can punish them. So he's really risking it, and we'll just see how it plays out.
We will, and I'm going to be following this. I'm very, very fascinated. So we'll follow it together, I suppose. Thanks for your reporting, and thanks for coming onto the show as well, Ethan. It was great speaking with you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I'm Hillary McClure, podcast host at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was writer Ethan Strauss, who you can find and follow on Twitter at Sherwood Strauss. For more podcast episodes like this, as well as our internet radio station, Cybercrime Radio WCYB, visit us at cybercrime.radio.